Life with a disability means all your time is spent fulfilling basic human needs. Food and shelter are the priority, leaving little room for transportation and medical costs, let alone time for recreation and being involved in the community. Saskatchewan's Disability Income Support Coalition has been waiting for 2 years for the government to bring dignity back to a life with a disability. But at just $26 a day, more needs to be done. That is why it's important for people like you to help them. Start by contacting your local MLA. Learn more at saskdisc.ca.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Thanks to Canadian band Mr. Something Something from Toronto and the Afrobeat poet Ikwunga for our theme song, You Are Beautiful. My name is Jim Hutchings. This week I'm joined by our co-host Mona Hill. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
And our guests today include Anita Huffoff.
Yeah.
Okay. The director of the Schizophrenia Society of Regina, and Cindy Leggett, who is a rehabilitation counselor / peer support coordinator with the Canadian Paraplegic Association Southern Region. Both Anita and Cindy are part of a media working group for DISC, Disability Income Support Coalition of Saskatchewan. Welcome, you two.
Thanks.
Really good to have you here. And that announcement that we listened to after our intro music, explain that, Anita.
Yeah, well, we are trying to bring awareness across Saskatchewan about needing to for the government to put more money into the SED program. That is the Saskatchewan Assured Income for People with Disabilities. And so far, there's been sort of a first wave of people put onto that program, and it's people that are living in long-term care. Unfortunately, we really kind of didn't intend those people to be the people put on to this program. We were looking at more people that are living independently, and though they are impacted fairly severely with their disability, so they may not be able to work, or maybe only just be able to work a little bit. So we've been waiting for, it's a few years now, to be able to get this second wave of people onto the program. We're looking at, there's about 6,500 people who were looking to be enrolled on SED. And so we're using this radio advertisement, and we're also asking people to write letters to their MLAs to get people with disabilities onto the program. We want people to be not living in poverty, on social assistance, as many people are, unfortunately. And social assistance was not created for people with a disability to be on it long term, and that's what's happening. And so our people with disabilities are living in severe poverty, and with the SED program, we're hoping that they can, live a more dignified life and not be living in such abject poverty. So, yeah, we're really trying to get everybody on board with us to help our people with disabilities.
And this is certainly the ideal time to be talking about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's election time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
This makes me think about the phrase basic living wage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Affordable living wage. Right. And this is something that we've been talking about in, you know, social circles for a long time when it comes to people who are unable to work or only able to work for short periods of time, perhaps, or part-time, that enabling every citizen to have a basic, comfortable living wage, whether or not they're working for it or not.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why do you think, you said that, you know, it's been 5 years since the beginning of DISC has been created.
Yeah.
And it was, maybe give us a little bit of background on that and why you think it's been taking so long for this to, this sort of, was it a promise or was it, you know, the conversation with the government to make these changes? So give us a little bit of background on DISC, if you would.
Well, as you said, DISC has been around for just over 5 years, and we started as a group of people that realized we had a commonality in the clients that we serve. There was a huge percentage of them that were living in poverty and not making it on social assistance. And we were having clients come to us and say, you know, I need to make a decision over whether I pay my rent this month or eat, for example. And so a group of us got together and decided, how can we lobby for this to make a difference in the community? And we now have over 38 different disability-associated organizations who have joined forces with the coalition to move it forward. In terms of why it's taking so long, I'm sure there's lots of reasons. But we have seen this current government definitely move it further than it has been previous. This government does have a different level of commitment to people with disabilities without question. However, it's still not enough. It still needs to move forward. We were told when it was first announced in 08, I guess, we were told it was going to take some time, but that it would keep moving, and it would keep moving forward to involve more and more people. And the movements have been there, but that still doesn't help a lot of the people that we serve that live in the community on a day-to-day basis. They're still phoning 5 years later saying, how am I going to pay my rent and eat and pay my utilities and all of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I think, of course, it's got to do with monies. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to cost some money to get 6,500 people on the program. And as Cindy has said, you know, this government has really worked collaboratively with us to try to develop a measurement tool, I guess, or an assessment tool as to who is going to be eligible for this program. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we certainly don't want to say they haven't been doing anything, because they have been working together with us. But there is a need to get it going quicker. And so we're hoping with help from people in Saskatchewan to let the government know about the urgency of our people with disabilities who, as Cindy said, are phoning 5 years later and saying, God, you know, I don't know how I'm going to eat this month or pay my rent. Like, we have to do something. This is really, really a severe problem for those people, and we can't forget about them.
And the thing is, too, this is long overdue.
It is.
Long overdue. Previous governments going back years and years, and I don't care what political stripe, they've drastically underfunded social services, and it is really time for government to step up.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And especially here in Saskatchewan, we're doing so well mm-hmm. financially. You know, we're doing good. This is the time. We've got the extra money. Let's help our people, you know. Yeah. It just makes good sense, and it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for doing this media campaign as well is we think there is a huge misconception in the public that people with disabilities are taken care of by other social service systems, and that poverty is not an issue. And part of the reason for doing this campaign was also to move that forward in the public's eye, that these people are in fact living on $26 a day.
Absolutely, $800 a month. And mm-hmm. you know, if we really think about it, would any of us really be able to live on $800 a month? If you really think, got to pay your rent, mm-hmm. or, you know, you got to buy the groceries, you've got to pay your utilities, you might need to have some medications. You know, there's so many things. How can you do that with $800 a month? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how people do it. I mm-hmm. just really don't. I think, you know, people are having to probably use food banks and things like that, which are really Band-Aid kinds of solutions, mm-hmm. and it's embarrassing for people to have to be able to have to do that. We want people to live with dignity and not have to be going and, you know, begging for little, you know, little scraps. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Cindy was making the point there that, you know, you got lots of people are making the choice between having something to eat and paying the rent.
Absolutely.
Or medication and paying the rent, all these things.
And some of my clients, for example, have been directed medically to eat more nutritionally and make better nutrition choices.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you do that on $26 a day? It's cheaper to buy a bottle of pop than it is a carton of milk.
Right.
You know?
And that $26 a day includes the rent.
Yes.
It's not just 26
mm-hmm.
bucks for food.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that includes your rent in that 26 bucks a day.
What about the disability supplement? Doesn't that help?
Not too much. It's you don't get a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
A lot of extra money. Or people that are, say, on CPP rather than social assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get $50 more a month on that. That still isn't.
So if you have to hire someone to come and maybe do your home, your house cleaning for you, clean your apartment, specific home care needs.
Right.
Do you have to pay for that out of your pocket, out of that $800 a month?
I believe you probably would have to, unless there's something set up with social services.
There is usually some sort of arrangement where some of those costs will be covered by social assistance,
okay.
but certainly not all of them.
Okay.
So again, individuals are forced to pick which services they're going to be able to afford. And not everyone who has a disability gets a disability supplement.
That's right.
And why is that?
It's based on your level of disability and the amount of care that you require. So even those people who can work some of the time but not full time do not qualify for the supplement.
Wow.
So where is this criteria set? Who makes this? Who creates this criteria? You know, Anita, earlier you talked about the government sort of setting up
an assessment tool. For SED,
Yes, for SED, which is, once again, the Saskatchewan Insured Income.
For people with disabilities.
For people with disabilities,
yeah.
But I'm thinking about what Cindy's saying regarding the criteria or the assessment for if you have a certain disability. Someone makes that decision. I can see these little check boxes. You know, how much can you do? How long can you do it? That
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, and how it affects you. So somebody's made that decision ahead of time, and if you don't fit in the boxes, you're kind of out of luck.
That's right. And up until the SED program has come along, everything has been based on an individual's diagnosis. The SED program is one of the first programs in Saskatchewan that actually looks at the impact of someone's disability.
Okay, and I'd like to talk about that. That's really important. What kind of impact?
So, for example, the SED program is meant for individuals who have enduring and significant disabilities. So they'll look at things like, how much assistance do they require? Do they require assistance at home? Do they require in the community to work? Do they require transportation to get there? Do they require a support system to work? All of those things will be accounted for versus the previous assessments, which were, for example, you have cerebral palsy and therefore this amount of money should cover your needs without looking at
your basic physical needs.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. Without looking at how every person with cerebral palsy is different
mm-hmm.
and how they're able to function.
Right.
One thing I'm curious about here is how the provincial drug plan works, because I know that there are some circumstances in which the provincial drug plan will cover your drugs, period.
Right.
If your costs are going to be high and there's no way that you can afford it, they just step in and pay.
Right,
you know?
right.
And I'm just wondering, does that happen in disability type situations?
If people are on social assistance, I believe is it $2 that
you have to pay?
$2
for your medication.
Dispensing fees sort of thing.
But not all meds are covered.
That's right.
That's the problem.
So they have to be on the formulary.
Okay.
Sometimes you may need to get what's called exceptional status,
mm-hmm.
which your doctor may write to the drug mm-hmm. plan and ask for exceptional status for certain drugs. People that are on, say, CPP, for instance, mm-hmm. they have to pay. I think they can apply to get a reduction in the costs mm-hmm. of medications,
right.
but they still do have to pay
right.
a portion of those.
Right. And, Cindy, you talked about impact, and one of the things that I think about and I've become aware of over the years is it's not only about physical impact, about how much work you can do and how long does it take you to get somewhere and whether or not you can, you know, pick up a phone or whether you have to have a, you know, a telephone TTY or whatever. But there's other types of impact that people are not aware of who do not live with a disability. Let's talk about some of those impacts.
Right, right. Well, for instance now, because I work with mental illness, a lot of people aren't familiar with what maybe some of the problems could be for somebody who's working. Perhaps with people with, say, schizophrenia, for instance, stress levels can trigger symptoms. So they can be a job and environment where we have to really be cognizant of what the stress levels are. They may not be able to work 8 hours a day because they simply just cannot handle the stress of
right.
an 8-hour job.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, too, they might need to get something that's sort of more of a low-stress job. Sometimes they may need to work more on their own and maybe not with a lot of people. There's so many factors that come into it, and somebody that has no experience with disabilities, for them to, say, set up an assessment mm-hmm. tool, that's just not, it doesn't make sense. That's why they have included community, all of our disability organizations with DISC. There's a committee set up to develop these assessment tools, because we all know what, mm-hmm. you know, the people we serve, some of their limitations could be.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there an organization who is tasked with that, where they look for situations where people can be employed sort of at their ability level?
Well,
SASC
Abilities does have that type of offering.
Right, right. Yeah. And I believe we do have somebody from SASC Abilities mm-hmm. working with our community.
Yes, we actually do. And we have different agencies working with us who do disability assessments all the time, like SASC Abilities, like Neil Squire, for mm-hmm. example. So, and the reason they've been asked to come on board with that is because they see a large cross-disability population of physical disabilities, emotional, mental health issues
yeah.
all in the people that they serve, so they have an understanding of what the picture looks like when there is a bunch of different variables involved.
Yeah. But does this then become like a catch-22 where you're making money so you don't qualify for some of these benefits?
Well, we're hoping that SAD mm-hmm. will allow people to still be able to do some work and mm-hmm. also to collect SAD. We're not looking to screen out people that are able to do some work,
mm-hmm.
Because certainly, you know, people with disabilities are capable of maybe doing some, but maybe it's only, you know, maybe it's only a couple hours a day. Maybe it's not 8 hours a day, you know, whereas that, you know, that mm-hmm. person, of course, wouldn't be eligible. And, you know, somebody who can work full time,
yeah.
right, wouldn't necessarily need to get the said funds.
But the best example that I have of an individual is one of these self-advocates who has spoken about this issue numerous times. She can only work 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Once those 3 hours are up, she fatigues for lots of different reasons. And she says, it's not as if I don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best that I can do given what my abilities are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically physician-based diagnostics as well that would enable you to qualify for these programs, isn't it? So you'd have to have one heck of a good relationship with your physician.
Right, right. And I believe that what we're trying to do is that it would be more than just the physician
right.
diagnoses. It would be also the assessment tool as well. So it's just not simply your doctor saying, you know, this person has has a disability and, you know, maybe they will qualify for the program. I believe that we will also have the assessment tool in place as well.
And also, too, the assessors that are assessing the impact of disabilities have been asked to go to the individual's home to do the assessment. So they will be able to see and ask the questions based on what they know intuitively as well as what they see the individual do.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at what we would call a holistic perspective of your everything in your life and how
yes.
the impact affects everything in your life.
Right.
Absolutely.
Physical, emotional, spiritual.
Right.
So as you said, it's not just about the physical supports at home. It's
right.
even about, can you access the transportation that you require to get to work? Can you, you know, make the phone call to book it? Do you need assistance to do that? All of that becomes part of the assessment.
Okay.
Right.
How much time have we got, Jim?
Well, we've got about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And I would like to talk about Radiothon.
Go ahead.
We're just
talking about Radiothon.
We're at the tail end of Radiothon week here, and this is the time, the one time of the year that we are looking for funds from the people who enjoy all the many varied programs that you're going to find here at CJTR Community Radio. And of course, this is a spoken word program. We've got lots of interesting spoken word programs and many varied music programs. And if you enjoy hearing these programs, like the program you're listening to right now, where we're talking about important issues here in the community, then we would really, really like you to express your support by donating. And here's the good thing. If you pledge $25, you get entered into the grand prize draw in which you can win a fantastic week-long winter vacation for two to Cancun, Mexico. That includes airfare to and from Regina Airport, 7 nights at the all-inclusive Grand Melia Cancun, a five-star resort right on the beach at the Caribbean Sea. And this is courtesy of Carlson Wagenlee Rickard Travel and Sunquest Vacations. Now, that grand prize draw will be held at 5 p.m. Friday, October 21st, during the CJTR afternoon show. And you can check out complete contest rules at www.cjtr.ca. Now, in addition to that, we have gifts for you. For a donation of $50 or more, you'll receive a CJTR-logoed 2-gigabyte USB drive. For a donation of $100 or more, you'll receive a CJTR Radiothon 2011 T-shirt. For a donation of $150 or more, you'll get the USB drive, the T-shirt, and 2 tickets to the November CJTR 10th Anniversary Showcase Series Grand Finale. Now, in addition to that, it just gets better. We have daily prize draws. Well, this is the last day. So.
Oh, get your money in.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is your last chance here to get a daily prize draw. And we have a fantastic prize today. It's a $100 gift certificate from The Fainting Goat. So
that's a very popular restaurant in the city.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's, it's been changed, and it's even better than before.
Okay.
So please give us a call. Let's see if I can find the... turn the page, and here's the number. 525-7274. 525-7274. Call now and make your pledge. And we've got all sorts of interest. We're looking for $20,000. And we're hoping to do some new things. We're hoping for a new production studio and a lot of other new equipment that will enable us to do even more in the community.
I think that's really important, Jim, because for those who value CJTR as a community radio station, you may not know it, but we only have one little tiny studio, and we can only fit a few people in here at once, and we all look forward to having the opportunity to have two studios. There's a lot more that can be done with community radio, with the opportunity to have two studios to work in.
We are really lucky to have what we have, and we're really grateful to the people who got this started 10 years ago. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary. And, you know, it's just been getting better and better, and we've got a dedicated core of volunteers. I think there's over 100 programmers, volunteer programmers, who make this happen, and we have a few paid employees, very few paid employees, actually. I think maybe two full-timers and a couple half-timers. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them. So at any rate, I really encourage you to call in and make your pledge here. Now I'll give you the phone number here one more time, 525-7274. And with that, I think we'll take our break, and I've got some music for you coming out of that.
And we'll be back with Anita and Cindy, and we'll be talking about DISC, which is the Saskatchewan Disability Income Support Coalition.
Be right back.
Moses had the calling.
Someone calling his name.
Calling from the mountain.
Someone calling his name.
A bush that was burning,
but not consumed by the flame.
Moses had the calling.
Someone calling his name, and it said,
I am that I am, that I am, that I am. For now and forever, in a world without end. He said, I am that I am, that I am, that I am.
And all things unfolding, forever, amen.
Within him and without him,
someone calling his name.
And all things that surround him,
someone calling his name.
A bush that was burning,
but not consumed by the flame.
Moses heard the calling,
someone calling his name. And it said,
I am that I am, that I am, that I am. From now and forever,
in a world without end.
It said, I am that I am, that I am, that I am.
All things are unfolding forever, amen.
I am that I am, that I am, that I am. I am that I am, that I am. It said, I am that I am, that I am, that I am.
And all things unfolding forever, amen.
Can you hear the calling?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear the calling?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear the calling? Oh, I'm asking, can you hear the calling?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear the calling?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear the calling?
Oh,
can you hear the calling?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear the calling?
Yeah.
Tell me, can you hear it?
Within you and without you, someone's calling your name. And all that's around you, someone's calling your name. A bush that was burning and continues to flame. Moses heard the call and someone calling your name. And it said,
I am that I am, that I am, that I am. From now and forever, in a world without end. I am that I am, that I am, that I am.
And all things unfolding forever, amen.
It said, I am that I am, that I am, that I am. I am that I am, that I am. I am that I am, that I am, that I am.
All things are unfolding
forever, amen.
Welcome back to Human Rights Radio. I'm Mona Hill, and I'm here with my co-host, Jim Hutchings. And we are here today with members of the Saskatchewan Disability Income Support Coalition, Anita Hopoff and Cindy Leggett. We've been discussing some pretty basic issues about people with disabilities expecting to have change in the past 5 years in terms of a living wage or a Saskatchewan assured income for people with disabilities that had been sort of promised in the past 5 years to help them with their basic daily living needs and not have to prove that they need it every year. Like, and that's one thing I remember working in, you know, certain jobs I've had is, you know, people on assistance tending have to go back every year and prove that they still have muscular dystrophy or prove that they still have a mental illness.
Right.
And then they will re-qualify. So that's one of the big issues. And we've been talking before the break about the impact. There are assessments available. The government has worked with 38 different organizations for people with disabilities and advocates to create some assessment tools so that they can sort of decide who deserves it and who doesn't. And you know, I think we should speak very clearly about this, that this organization and these people have been waiting and waiting and waiting. There's been a lot of conversation in the air, you said, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the government says that this is going to happen. But, you know, I guess we're starting to get a little bit impatient, you know, to be quite frank, because many of us that are working in these disability organizations, we are the ones who are talking to the people who are really suffering. And I'll just tell you, I had a fella who had come to see me, and, you know, he wanted to know, when is this program, you know, when will I be able to get onto this program? And I told him, you know, it's coming. And he had told me that I'd asked him if he could come again to see me the next week on the Thursday. And he said, I can't come then because that's the day that I go and I get food out of a garbage bin, basically, that's behind a restaurant. And he said, you know, there's good food in there. And I can, you know, I use that to be able to get me through. And, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, I was just about in tears. So this is what we are dealing with in our organizations. We hear this all the time. And, you know, we need to let the government know this is urgent. You know, these people can't wait anymore.
It was urgent 5 years ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, like with the rents going up, they're going up and up. So the people need to take their food money, you know, and put it onto the rent now because the rents keep going up. So, you know, these guys are starving. I'm not even kidding you. Like, this is really, really devastating for people, and people should not have to be living like this.
And we have, through DISC, we've brought a lot of people in to tell us their stories and to tell politicians and those that make the decisions their stories. And we've heard story after story about what Anita just talked about. We've also heard people say, like, we rely on other services because every Friday night the church has a local hot dog supper, and at least we know that we're going to get fed on Fridays, you know, those type of things.
Absolutely.
So,
no, people shouldn't have to rely on that. You know, that's nice the church is having a hot dog supper, but these are Band-Aid solutions.
Right.
You know, and it's like, again, people getting kind of little scraps here and there where they can. And it's not right. It's not right.
And people should not have to rely on hot dogs
exactly.
to have a healthy...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that isn't a healthy meal.
It's not healthy.
Absolutely.
No, it isn't.
And
you talked
not,
about that earlier,
yeah.
Cindy, about having people having specific dietary mm-hmm. needs that will enable them to be as healthy as they can possibly be within the context of their disability.
Absolutely.
So relying on garbage from the restaurants in the back lane, relying on hot dog meals is not cutting it.
Absolutely not.
And the thing is, we all know that if we all don't eat properly, the rest of our health suffers, right?
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a vicious
and
circle.
It speaks to the impact, part of that impact, that holistic perspective on the impact in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked, when we first introduced you, you talked about one of the things you said was recreation.
Mm-hmm.
How easy is it for someone to have, some fun in their life? And engage in the community without any money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And particularly with a disability.
Yes.
There's going to be other mm-hmm. things that they're going to need to take into consideration.
Reality is most of the people I work with don't. They don't even think about recreation. Or if they do, it's a recreational opportunity offered through a support system like one of our agencies.
Right.
It's not out in the community. It's not because then they have to worry about how to get there and how to get the money to do that, all those things.
Right. It's not, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, it's like maybe a free recreational activity that they might be able to do. And we had done a survey with some of the people with disabilities within our organizations a few years back and sort of asked them, like, what would you need, you know, or what would you like to have, you know, sort of to help you? And almost none of them even said recreational things.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I want to have enough money to buy milk and bread and the basic needs of life. And mm-hmm. we were all really shocked there was hardly anybody saying, I would like to go to a movie once in a while.
Yeah.
It was those basic needs that they were concerned that I would like to just be able to have milk in the house and bread in the house and just to be able to do my very basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember somebody actually saying, the only thing I would wish for once in a while is a steak.
A steak?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember
or
that
some
story?
Fruits and yeah. vegetables.
Do you remember that
yeah.
story, though?
Yes.
Because we asked him if we gave you, I think we'd asked him if we gave you another $30 a month, he said to me, we would go out for steak.
Right.
Go out to a restaurant to eat?
No, they would have steak in their house.
In their house.
They weren't even talking about going
yeah,
out.
Going out.
They would just be able to go to the grocery store mm-hmm. and buy one steak and share
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That was their
so
thing.
The things that the majority yeah. of us in this society take for granted, like going to the symphony,
right?
Going to mm-hmm. a Rider game,
right. yes.
going to a Pats game,
yeah. going out for supper,
going
once
out
in
to
a
see
while.
A concert,
yeah.
going out on a Friday night to a music gig,
yeah,
absolutely impossible.
No, no, and
for
yeah,
many people,
most of them don't even, you mm-hmm. know,
they, don't even it, entertain it.
No.
Even it goes further as that, how many of us have internet in our home?
Okay,
you know,
good point.
A lot of these people don't even have that.
Yeah.
Right.
And for a lot of people with disabilities, that could be a source of entertainment if the life, if their life is impacted.
You bet.
In another
or
way.
Or even to have cable television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them only got those basic couple of channels if they even have a TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, what kind of entertainment, what do you do all day, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's so sad.
Yeah.
And some of them had TVs where you could watch them through rabbit ears.
You can't do
now
that.
Now you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I
unless
know.
You've got $70
yeah.
For an adapter.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
So
yeah.
I have clients that have been phoning that have said, I can't even watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
So once again, we're going to be depending on the kindness of strangers almost and
right.
volunteers,
right.
as you said, unless it's through some kind of non-government organization, some kind of agency to help out with this
yeah.
stuff.
Right.
It's just not there.
Right.
There's
right.
a mindset that the prosperity, and some people, that the prosperity that the province is experiencing is going to result in some trickle-down, that's their word, trickle-down benefits. But there is no trickle down, you know.
Right.
And I think that our movers and shakers that are trying to make things, and we can all think of projects that have been in the news lately
mm-hmm.
that they want to do. But I'd like to think that some of our elected officials could be challenged by what we're talking about here right now.
Right.
Because these are basic human rights, and they should be addressed. And they should be addressed before we worry about a new stadium. You know, or anything else.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's take care of our people first.
Yeah.
And then we can look at those other things, which, you know, I mean, I think that's okay, too. But let's look at our people who are, like, really suffering out there by no fault of their own.
Yep.
You know, because a lot of people have that perception that everybody who's on mm-hmm. social assistance is a lazy bum.
Yeah.
And that's just, that is just simply not true. I believe it's seven, is it, was it 77% of people
yeah.
on long-term caseloads, welfare caseloads, are people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's just, you know, that's yeah. really, really unfortunate.
And
really,
the majority
yeah.
of them would love to work.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. yeah.
So I'd really like to see some people to look at it as their responsibility, you know. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's
right.
everyone's responsibility.
Right.
Well, and that's why we're doing this media campaign, because I don't think the public realizes that these people are not taken care of.
Right.
Yeah.
They're,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I think they think there's government programs
mm-hmm,
in
sure.
place, and
yep.
they're doing just fine. And really, mm-hmm. people, I don't believe the general public really knows how these people are suffering. So that's, yeah, what we're wanting to do is to make people understand that, no, they're not being taken care of,
no.
And not well anyways, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basic human needs are pretty well, you know, bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
Basic human rights, you know?
Yeah.
Just like what the program's about, you know?
Well, if you're looking for your next meal out of a dumpster, that tells the story right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what do you say to somebody?
Yeah.
Like for me, like how do I say be patient?
Yeah.
It's coming. Yeah. You know, maybe it'll be coming out in a couple more years. Like it's really hard for me to say, mm-hmm. well, you just keep going every Thursday and get that food out of the dumpster and pretty soon you won't have to. Like that's yeah. it's
and then they look banks. Back at you yeah. and say, is that a promise?
Yeah. yeah.
And I can't make that promise.
So when you have your regular meetings with the representatives from the government, what are they saying is the holdup? What's going on?
Well, I think it's, you know, just the money thing, I guess, looking
to... But
we
have a lot of money.
Right.
We're
well,
a half province now.
There's lots of competition, you know, I guess, for the funding, you know, that there's mm-hmm. all these different things that are requiring mm-hmm. their attention, which is true. You know, there are lots of things. But, I mean, for myself, I guess working in human services and I see how people are suffering... it's just sort of a no-brainer that sort of should be the first kind of priority.
Yeah.
You know, let's take care of our people and then let's look at, you know, all the other things that we need to do as
I
well.
I think we need to encourage our high-profile people, and yeah. we have them all, their names are on the tips of our tongues.
Right.
We need to encourage our high-profile people to make this a priority.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Can we go back to the... organizations that are involved with
yes.
Saskatchewan Disability Income Support Coalition.
Yeah.
There's 38 member organizations. This is province-wide, right?
Yes.
Right.
Is there any organization like this anywhere else in the country or similar to this? And I guess maybe this organization evolved because of the dire need.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, we certainly have been told that this is one of the first... coalitions in the country that is being watched at how the government collaborates with the community. We certainly have been told
okay.
that time and time again.
Right.
Have you got any First Nations or Métis organizations
yes.
As part of the group as well?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, good. So they're not being ignored. Or
no, we've got a really awesome cross-section
wonderful.
Across the province of different organizations.
Oh, you've got the
and
whole list here. And
I do. I've got a huge list. And people have just keep on mm-hmm. coming on board with
yeah.
us. You know, we started out... as sort of smaller, you know, but as people learned more about us, more organization became involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So when are you taking to the streets?
Well, this is all part of it. I'm sure you're going to see over the course of the election, I'm sure you're going to see different things evolve from the media campaign. At least that's our hope. But I think more than anything, our message today is that we are here to mm-hmm. help move the movement forward, but now we also rely on the public.
Well, we're going to have people banging yeah. on our doors
yeah.
here, and
right.
they're going to want our votes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they're supposedly wanting to know what's important to us.
Absolutely.
And we should be telling them this is important
absolutely.
To us, and
right.
we should ask for a commitment from these people who want our votes.
Right. We actually have an election toolkit that we've developed also, and there's also a form letter that you can use to send to government. If you you want to send it to Brad Wall, you can tell him your own personal thoughts on it, or we do have a form letter. So you could go to saskdisc.ca.
Mm-hmm. And that's D-I-S-C.
Right. So that's saskdisc.ca. And you will find the election toolkit there, mm-hmm. which you can use to discuss with people that the new candidates coming to your doors mm-hmm. And asking you how you're going to vote. You can ask them, where do you stand on this?
Mm-hmm.
And the toolkit can help you. And then also there's that form letter that if you just don't have the time to sit down and write a long formal letter, you can just use that and send it right to Premier Wall.
You can also find the email addresses of every single MLA
right.
in this province under Government of Saskatchewan Directory. If you have a few minutes, go
yes.
in there, set mm-hmm. it up as a group in your email. It
right.
doesn't take long, and shoot it out to every single MLA in this province.
Absolutely.
And the way the form letter is set up, you do not have to have a personal story. if you believe in this issue just as it is, you can also send the form letter as it is written.
Right, right. And if you do have a personal story, that's great, because that's even more, just makes it more stronger, mm-hmm. I think.
And mm-hmm. I think also that even if you're not a person with a disability who's impacted by these issues, I'm sure you probably know someone who is.
Absolutely.
And you can advocate for that person or those people as well.
Absolutely. Well, one in four individuals in this province have some form of disability. So
absolutely, or else it's, you know, your brother or your sister or your child, you know, it's, you know, a family member or a friend, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, and part of the problem too, I think, is that some of these disabilities are invisible.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
You look at somebody walking down the street, you can't tell looking at them whether they have schizophrenia or some other thing that makes it difficult or impossible for them to hold down a job.
Right.
Back problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and there's lots of different things that, you know, that we don't realize, you know, and or we don't know really how it impacts somebody, you know, like what is actually going on in, you know, somebody who's got, for instance, schizophrenia, what's happening with mm-hmm. them. And, you know, we need to have more compassion for those people.
How much time do we have, Jim?
About 8 minutes.
Good, because I would like to get into this election toolkit.
Okay.
Anita has here, the one that you can download off the internet. And it's the, let's see, there's what is DISC? So it gives you a background of it, a background of the members of DISC, who they are, what organizations are involved, the background due to the SED, S-A-I-D, which is Saskatchewan Assured Income
for People with Disabilities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a big one.
And there's great questions to ask your candidates here. Things to do in face-to-face meetings with them, advocacy tips. Let's see what else we have here. There's a bit of progress that's been achieved. We've talked a little bit about that. So it gives you a nice background. And hang on here. Let's see what we've got. Something. Questions to ask your candidate. This was, I thought, really interesting.
Yes.
What supports is your party offering to assist with people with disabilities? Number two, what do you know about the SED program? If the candidate doesn't know about the program, provide him or her with a copy of the one-pager and discuss it with that person. If elected, would you increase funding to SED and the number of individuals who are supported by it?
Related to that question, what the public may not know is there has been a name change for individuals who are now on SED. They have a choice of being on social assistance or on SED, mm-hmm. but there has been very little money increases if you go on SED. So the whole premise of this is to increase the money so that it is a more dignified way of living.
Okay, and that's a key word, I think,
right.
This whole conversation.
Absolutely.
Is dignity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another question is, people have been watching for more than 2 years for SED to be expanded. You talked about this earlier, Anita. People are waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
So the question is, if your party is elected, how quickly will you act on this issue? I think you're tired of waiting.
Yeah.
And how important is this issue to you? Ask your candidate this.
Right.
How many people with disabilities are living on less than $26 per day? That includes all their basic needs, including food and shelter. Do you think this is adequate support? That's an excellent question.
Absolutely.
And then the last one they're suggesting here for your candidate is, we are asking for a $200 per month increase for people living independently as a first step towards an adequate income. What is your response to this position? Have you had any opportunity to speak to any candidates about this yet?
I have not yet.
Okay.
Somebody did come to my door, but I was not home, so I didn't, but I do plan on it. I believe that people will really start coming out now as of the Thanksgiving, where we're going to start seeing those candidates really pounding people's doors. So if we can be aware and have some questions for them when they come and, you know, find out.
Also, think something that's very important that I've engaged in the past that I really enjoy is the all candidates meetings before an election.
Right.
It gives you an opportunity to get up there and say to all the candidates, here's the issue, and you can use these questions.
Right.
What does each of you think about it, and what is your position on, you know, how you would address these issues?
Right.
So there's some really good information in here.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you've created this. There's tips here. The other thing I might suggest is, I know a candidate came to my door even before the election started a couple of weeks ago and wanted to speak with me, but I didn't have time. I was on my way out. Rather than just forgetting about it, maybe it'd be a good idea to, you know, say, give me your contact information and I'll phone you, because there are some things that I'd like to talk to you about.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. To finish off the show and this segment of it, what would you like to say to the general public out there?
Well,
put the letters in.
Yeah, get those letters out there.
Put the letters in. If you need more information on what's going on, go to the website, contact one of the organizations. We can give you whatever you need.
Yeah.
For that.
And the website address?
SaskDisc.ca, SaskDisc.ca. Yeah, all the info is there.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've appreciated this opportunity to talk about this. Before we go, Jim wants to talk a little bit more about Radiothon, but I have something else I want to announce, and this is the Community Partnership Against Violence 10th Anniversary Peacemakers Breakfast, which will be held next Tuesday, October 11th, from 8:30 to 10 at the Regina Inn on Broad Street in Regina. The guest speaker will be Dr. Vian Timmons, President of the University of Regina. Her topic will be Educating Children for a Just World. The tickets are pretty cheap, $10 a piece, and you can get them in advance through PATHS, P-A-T-H-S, which is Crystal Giesbrecht, which her number is 522-5315, or you can email PATHS, P-A-T-H-S, services@sastel.net, or you can visit abusehelplines.org and get your $10 tickets to hear Dr. Vian Timmons speaking on Educating Children for a Just World. Take it away, Jim.
All righty, and we were going to finish up here by telling you about Radiothon again. One thing I didn't mention before was that for every $25 you pledge, you get an entry in the big draw. So if you pledge $50, you've got two entries. $75, you've got three entries. So you could win a fantastic week-long winter vacation for two to Cancun, Mexico. And for a donation of $50 or more, you receive a CJTR logoed 2-gigabyte USB drive, $100 or more, the T-shirt, $150 or more, you get the USB drive, the T-shirt, and two tickets to the November CJTR 10th Anniversary Showcase Series Grand Finale. And if you pledge today, then you are eligible for the daily draw, which today is courtesy of the Fainting Goat, and you'll get a certificate worth, it's a draw for a certificate worth $100 at the Fainting Goat. So please support us. We've got lots of plans in the works that we would like to accomplish. We've got our new production studio, and we have other activities that we need to get a little more equipment to accomplish and make CJTR an organization that's worth even more to the community. So with that, I just like to thank our guests for being here, Anita and Cindy. Thank you very much. And we're going to close this week's Human Rights Radio show, and we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. Every day, in every moment, in every corner of the world, injustice cries out for your intervention. To paraphrase a great humanitarian, if you can't help everybody, just help one. And whether the abuses stop immediately or take a long time to end, the gift of your attention and intervention can make a profound and positive impact on the ability of individuals and communities to endure and prevail. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."